I have been told that preachers basically have, at best, 5 sermons. Now, you may dispute that and think it's not even 5 when you begin to reflect on what you have heard, not only from me, but from other pastors over time. I want to give us a chance, though, over the next few weeks to look at several scripture passages that have been core to my life and ministry throughout my time as a United Methodist pastor. Standing here at the end of my time with you and my career, it's hard not to think now of the words of President Gerald Ford, repeated most recently by President Obama, that our long national nightmare is over. Almost. The image at this moment that comes in a pronounced way for me is one of Moses climbing to the top of Mount Nebo after leading his congregation, think of it now, for 40 years, not counting his earlier consulting work negotiating his congregation's transfer from Egypt. At the end of all that, Moses sits atop a mountain, gazing out at the long-sought and long-dreamed-of promised land, only to hear God tell him the same thing that God told to Adam and Eve: you may look, but not touch. That is to say, you have led us this far. You have brought us to the very brink of completing the journey. But you yourself, after all this time, will not go on and will not go in. Standing at the brink of my retirement, looking back at the journey of my life and ministry, I am gratefully and joyfully aware of how much has been done. I am equally aware and painfully aware at this moment of how much still remains to be accomplished, and how that will be in the hands of others, not me. And so today I'm beginning a 3-part series that I'm calling An Unfinished Life. Each sermon will focus on a specific scripture text that has been at the center of my life, faith, and ministry over the past 5 decades, starting with today's passage from 2 Corinthians, where we are charged with the ministry of reconciliation. As I glance back over my shoulder at the paths I have traveled, reconciliation seems to be a theme woven through from beginning to end. I say that not to make myself feel good, but to do 2 things. First, to use my story as a way of understanding what a ministry of reconciliation looks like. And secondly, to invite and encourage you to think about your own life story in similar fashion, for the key for each of us is looking at our lives in the context of God's life, exploring our own story in the context of God's story, and understanding that they are woven intimately and intricately together. In fact, there'll be a homework assignment at the end of the sermon, so you'd better be paying attention. My story is rooted and grounded here, in the churches where I grew up and where my faith and values were formed, first at First United Methodist Church in Rochester, New Hampshire, and then later at Wesley United Methodist Church in Concord, New Hampshire. When I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, the Wesley Church Youth Group took a spring trip from New Hampshire down to Washington, D.C. In Washington, we visited the Jefferson Memorial and other monuments, the U.S. Capitol, the National Archives with our country's founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Embassy Row with flags and ambassadors from around the world, the Supreme Court, and its next door neighbor, the United Methodist building. Did you know that we have a United Methodist building just across the street from the Supreme Court, and looking in the other direction, just across the street from the United Methodist, or from the United States Capitol? It's the headquarters of our denomination's social justice work, including our voice and witness on the great public issues of the day. Leaving Washington, we headed for New York City, where, along with visits to Chinatown, the Statue of Liberty, Times Square, we made our way to the United Nations building, again with a United Methodist witness just outside the doors of the United Nations building, where representatives of the world's nations worked mostly to build peace and goodwill across the globe. By the end of that week, I knew three things. First, that when it came time to go to college, I would leave the cold and snow of New Hampshire as fast as I could. Second, that I would go on to study international relations in preparation for a career as an international diplomat. And third, that my career goal grew directly out of my Christian upbringing and Christian beliefs as servants of the one called the Prince of Peace, and as ones who have been called to the holy and healing work of reconciliation, not only in spiritual matters, but in worldly matters as well, to care tenderly and carefully for the world and all its people. Working to bridge the gaps that divide us personally, politically, culturally, religiously, ethnically, racially. It was a time of ferment and foment, civil rights, Vietnam, the beginning of the Women's Liberation Movement, Watergate, the Pentagon Papers, the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr., Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X. As a college freshman, I arrived in Washington, D.C., barely 5 months after race riots had ravaged that city and destroyed much of its downtown in 6 straight days of rioting following the murder of Martin Luther King. 2 months later, Richard Nixon was elected president, and protests steadily grew against the Vietnam War, reaching a tipping point a year and a half later, with the expansion of the Vietnam War into Cambodia, the expansion of the military draft, and the killing of protesting students at Kent State in Ohio, which led in turn to the shutting down of over 500 college campuses across America, including my own, where classes were suspended and finals were canceled. Meanwhile, my own silent protest hung in my dorm room, where the words to the following hymn were superimposed upon a map of the United States. This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hope and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too, and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Oh, hear my song, thou God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for mine. In keeping with that theme of reconciliation, War and violence were never to be the answer. And so it should come as no surprise that my love of Jesus and my desire to do my best at heeding his injunction to love my enemies led me to be a conscientious objector. For at the heart of reconciliation lies a firm and unwavering commitment to both bridge building and peacemaking. In order to make whole that which has become fragmented, to restore relationships that have become frayed and torn apart, to join God's holy work of healing human life and all creation, putting things back together as God intended. Over time, I came to see that the work of doing that at the international level and the work of doing that at the interpersonal level were all the same. Both are important. Both are needed. A refocusing and reframing of this vision and passion came during another youth group trip, this time where I was a chaperone on a trip to Red Bird Mission in the hills of Kentucky. About as far away as you can get from the urban center. And yet there, a call to ministry began to take shape for me. A call that my ambassadorship would not be in the name and service of Uncle Sam, but in the name and service of Jesus Christ. 2 months later, let me repeat that. 2 months later, I was invited to pastor two small churches in the city of Buffalo. One on the very fringe corner, the northwest corner of that city, and one in the heart of the inner city. This one here, now known by another name. I was smart enough to know that I really shouldn't do that. In fact, in the conversation with the district superintendent, Christine, you're going to like this one, I said to the district superintendent, if I can do it Monday through Friday and skip Sunday, you've got a deal. Because, you see, I was worried about what I could possibly ever have to say that would be of interest and value to a worshiping congregation. And that wise man looked me across the table and said to me, it's a package deal. Take it or leave it. And I was young and brash enough to take it. 1 year later, I left Buffalo, took a slight detour to New Jersey to take a wife, continued on my trip to New England to enter seminary in Boston on what was labeled a trial year. And God and I have been on a series of 42 consecutive renewable trial years ever since. During my first week of seminary, I met with a school administrator whose job was to interpret for me all the personality profile data I had sent in as part of my seminary application. He looked me in the eye and lovingly told me that I was this. in the sense that I would have fit in well with the seminary classes in the 60s. But by the time of the early 70s, my incoming seminary classmates were much more consumed with inward and personal matters. However, you are what you are, and as a dinosaur, I plowed straight forward. And as part of my training for ministry, spent each Friday morning for the next year meeting and strategizing with a variety of public policy advocates, social justice advocates, working on legislative issues at the Massachusetts State House, and then for two more years learning how to be a pastor with the help of the good people at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in Acton, Massachusetts. In 1980, my call to urban ministry brought me to Woodside Church in Buffalo. And 7 years later, to the position of director of United Methodist Urban Ministry for Buffalo and the Niagara Frontier, where my office was housed in this beautiful downtown church. Throughout these years, the work of reconciliation was critical in a number of areas in that setting, including the following: forced busing and school desegregation, anti-abortion protests, a string of shootings and murders of black men on the streets of Buffalo, and when this beautiful building closed down as a church, my job was to establish a new soup kitchen and oversee and direct that soup kitchen in another section of town in partnership with a small African-American sister Methodist church. Today, this beautiful building has been repurposed as a concert hall, performance venue, and art studio, with part of the art studio and administrative offices occupying the space way up there at the top of that elevator, where my walk-up office used to be. Today, the building is owned by the musician Ani DeFranco, no longer called Asbury, Delaware United Methodist Church, but Babeville. There is much that has happened in my life and ministry since those early days, but the pattern was set long ago, a pattern that I did my best to say yes to, yet always knowing I did not choose it, but rather it was a gift from God on high, a calling to the ministry of reconciliation. You and I to be reconcilers, to heal the broken, to patch up what has fallen into disrepair, to restore life to the fullness intended for it by God, to fix what has been torn apart by sin of all sorts, racism, sexism, xenophobia, militarism, homophobia, classism, to make things right between people and nations, to turn enemies into friends and strangers into family. You and I have been reconciled, brought close to God, not to bask in God's glory, but to be empowered by God to set about the incredible and amazing work of reconciling human life and the world to its highest ideals and potential as set forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How does someone raised in the hills and towns of New Hampshire make his way and then find a home in the big city? only by the grace of God and the claim of Christ on his life and the moving of the Holy Spirit of reconciliation, peacemaking, and bridge building. Clearly, the work is not finished. We are all called to a ministry of reconciliation, doing whatever we can to pull people into harmony, first with God and then with neighbor. For at the end of the trail, these two can never be separated. They are part of the same great holy work. And what about you? I leave you with four questions. The four questions, just for your help, are found on the back page of the bulletin, so you can take them home and work on your essay answer and bring it back here next Sunday morning for extra credit, perhaps. But remember, my invitation to you is for you to examine your own life story, for how God has been at work in it and through it, and how your life story is part of God's incomparable story of blessing. And to raise the question, what does reconciliation mean to you? And how is your life part of the work of reconciliation? And a brief add to end. I call attention to our special offering this day to join United Methodists, not just across this country, but around the world, in supporting the great and holy work of peace with justice in the name of Christ everywhere. Amen.